The scripture reading this morning is from the prophecy of Malachi, chapter 3, and we'll begin reading at verse 16 and read through Malachi chapter 4. Malachi 3, beginning with verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall, and ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. Remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you this morning about what you find in Malachi 4 and the first part of verse 2, only the first part now. Malachi 4, the first part of verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. We speak this morning to you about the Son of Righteousness. And we consider in the first place who he is. And let it be the prayer and desire of our heart to see that Son, and to be filled with the light, the life, and the beauty of the Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness. Who he is. To whom he arises. And my dear children, let it be your prayer and the prayer of each of us that the Son of Righteousness shall arise in our heart. Now, in this service, let that be your longing. O Son of Righteousness, arise in me. And in the third place, we consider how he arises. What happens when the Son of Righteousness arises in our hearts? My dear children, for you another time, the Son of Righteousness, who he is, to whom he arises, but unto you that fear my name, and how he arises. Dear congregation, did you make your homework? Your homework, you know what it is? For when you hear the gospel here, you go to your home, you have a lot to do. Not to forget the word. You know how the Lord warns against forgettable hearers. You know how dangerous it is when the birds are coming and take away the precious seed. That must be our care. Oh Lord, no. Or that it very shortly, superficially, has a little influence, creating a vain hope? No. Or that we are so busy by our work, so many things, that the word has not really a place and bear no fruits. I hope, my dear flock, that you belong to them in which the seed of the word is sown in good soil, bringing forth fruits, homework. For you remember, as far as you were here, that we spoke to you about the last day of the world, the day of the coming of our Savior, the day of our wedding, when we belong to Him. And the great question is, of course, for each of us, and that was your homework, are you ready when Jesus comes today? Today. That was the first question for your homework. And the second question was, are you longing? Are you looking forward? In our beautiful confession, you know the end of it? Confession Belgica, last article. Therefore we expect that great day with great desire. Is that not beautiful? Is that not scriptural? So our confession ends. A great desire to that great day that God shall be all in all. That's the future for all the true people of the Lord. And when we read this portion, the last Bible book of the Old Testament, and you know, 400 years, there was no voice of prophecy thereafter. This was the last time that the Lord spoke to His church. And then there was no new revelation till the Son of Righteousness, Jesus Christ, arose. It seems to be as if the prophet is speaking about the day, the last day of the world, the day of judgment. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud ye and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. That's impressive. That's a prophecy, indeed, of the great day of judgment. But the prophet, by revelation of the Holy Spirit, received also the light on the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus in the flesh that precedes, and 2,000 years ago it happened. The whole church of all ages was looking forward to the day that heavens should rend, that the Lord himself should come. For that's the special mark of the true people of God, isn't it? Only the Lord himself can satisfy you. No creature, nothing and nobody else, only the Lord himself, coming in Christ Jesus to your soul, filling your heart with the fruits of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace. That's the longing of the whole church of Old and New Testament. They were looking forward to his coming. And sometimes they saw it so clear. For faith brings Christ near to us. God's people in the Old Testament looking forward, we looking back. And in this season of the year, we emphasize his coming in flesh more than we used to do. And that's what the prophet, by the revelation of the Holy Spirit, sees so clearly, how the Lord Jesus shall come with healing in his wings. And then he sees him and describes him with such a beautiful name, the Son. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise. The Son of Righteousness. You know, my dear children, that the Lord Jesus has in the Bible a lot of names. And when you begin to love him, you love his name. And his names, for every name of the Savior in the Bible reveals us something of his beauty. And when we really know and love him, we have a desire to love him more and to know him better. And this name is a wonderful, beautiful name, the Son of Righteousness. And why use the Holy Spirit, do you think, this blessed name to make us clear the beauty of the coming Savior? Well, you know, when the sun should not shine, then there was only darkness, total darkness. There should not be life. There was no possibility to live. It's so normal for us that every morning we awake, sometimes the sun shining brightly in beauty, sometimes covered by clouds, but always is there light. The sun. But when there should come a day that the sun shall not shine, no life. And you make the application for yourself, of course, already. Without Christ, there is no life for you. There's only natural life. And that life is death. There are only the fruits of death, where Christ is not. There is the flesh. There is destruction. And there is death. There is at the end the hell. Eternal death. By the Son we live. Without Son, no life. Without Christ, no life. Christ must arise in you. Otherwise, you have no life. you are and stay in your death. And therefore, when it never happened, let it be your prayer now, O Son of Righteousness, arise in my soul. I cannot miss thee. Everybody here must be impressed by it. You can miss everything. You can miss everybody. But you cannot miss Christ as the Savior for your soul. He is your life. More than the sun. Beautiful name. The Lord Jesus himself says, I am the life. Only by the sun we live. And you know that without the sun, we have no light at all. Maybe some artificial light, but not real light. The sun reveals, when he shines so bright, everything, the reality, the truth. In ourselves we are only darkness. And we keep darkness for light. We live in our own world of imagination, vanity, by which we don't see the things we need really. Therefore, we are so busy with so many things. Even the Lord's people, Martha, Martha. One thing is needed. Mary saw it. She was sitting at the feet of the Son of Righteousness. And his light was shining in her soul. And therefore she had no time for other things. For he was there. He was speaking. He was spreading his light in her heart. One thing is needed. The good part. At what side are we? Martha? Mariah? We need Christ to enlighten us, to make the things clear in our life. He is the light, the true light of God. And where he shines in our heart, there we see reality. And I tell you a little bit more about it when we consider our third point, how he arise. But this must be very clear. Only Christ is our light. Only when he shines in our soul by his Holy Spirit, we see the truth and we are in the light. And except Christ, we are and stay in darkness. Only darkness. Natural light, artificial light, but not the true light. We need him. Oh, blessed Son of Righteousness, arise in my heart, and more. That must be our prayer, our desire, continually. And the sun gives also warmth. In the sun, we can feel ourselves so comfortable. When we are cold and chilly, the sun is shining upon us. We feel the warmth of the sun. So Christ spread the warmth of the eternal love of God. And when he comes in our heart, he is our life. He is our light. And he is our warmth. And we feel the warmth of the eternal love of God, personally applied to me, to us. We must enjoy that light, that warmth, and the sun is arising. How wonderful, after a cold time, that can be in spiritual life, sometimes cold times. That's terrible, but it happens. And when the sun arises, and in his light and warmth, we enjoy the nearness of God. Only Christ can give us the love, the warmth of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. No one comes to the Father except by me, the Son. Christ is compared with the Son. Very easy for you children to understand this morning, isn't it? And let it be your prayer, O blessed Son of Righteousness. Arise in my soul. Nobody is too young for it. To see the beauty, to feel the life, to feel the warmth, to see the light of this blessed Savior. But now maybe you ask, why is the Lord Jesus here called the Son of Righteousness? He is not only compared with the sun in life, light and warmth, but he is called here the Son of Righteousness. That has a deep reason. For the sun can also very hard burn. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as oven. When people are traveling in the desert, temperature of 120 degrees, and then the sun is burning on them. It's terrible. You cannot bear it. The day is coming that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, he and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. For the Lord Jesus, and we emphasized it last week, is coming to judge. He came to save. The Son of Righteousness, the Son arising, but in his full glory. He shall come to judge, burning as an oven, to burn up the proud and all that do wickedly. That word righteousness, that's a key word in your life. Did you discover that? That's a head point. There are things which are not so important. More aside. But there are also things which are really centered. Basically. And that's the word righteousness. It means that you live in the right relation, the relation of right with God. That there is nothing in your life what is against the holy law and will of God. That you are perfect. As if you never had known or done any sin. That's righteousness. That when you stand before God, when the day is coming, burning as an oven. Yes, earlier, on the moment that you go over from time in eternity. Ye earlier, today, in this holy gospel, the righteousness of the Son of Righteousness is offered to you. It's preached to you. He is the Son of Righteousness because he gave himself to sacrifice, to satisfy God, to take away the sin of the world, to bear the punishment and hell is Spain for all his people. The righteousness. He is the Son of Righteousness who paid everything, who did everything in the place of sinners. Righteousness. The righteousness you need. The full, perfect righteousness is in Christ, in his life, in his suffering, in his sacrifice, in his prayer, at the right hand of the Father. A perfect, full, complete righteousness is in him. He is the Son of Righteousness. And when you have his righteousness, you have enough. You need nothing. You are perfect. You have no sins. You can stand before God. You shall glorify and magnify God into all eternity. Righteousness. Blessed they who are hungry and thirsty after righteousness. Or that righteousness you never and nowhere can find. By nature we are so foolish. We are looking for righteousness in ourselves. And the Church of Rome teach the people, you can find your righteousness partly in your own works. We are not better than Rome, for that Roman spirit, evil spirit, is living by nature in each of us. And therefore the Son of Righteousness must reveal. The Son reveals the reality of our life. Cut off, take away all our own righteousness. We need a Son of Righteousness, the perfect righteousness in Christ, by Christ, offered to us in the gospel. You can miss everything, but not this righteousness. When this Son of Righteousness arises in your heart, he distributes his righteousness. He gives it. He applies it. He makes it reality. So that you can believe his righteousness is by grace my righteousness. Wonderful. He is the Son of Righteousness. Also in relation with the great day of judgment, when the books are opened. For the Father has given to him all judgment, and he shall be the judge of the world, of every creature. But what an eternal blessing when this judge is your bridegroom, and his righteousness was given unto you, so that there is nothing against you in your book of life. Washed away all my sins, only by the sacrifice, by the blood of this precious Son of Righteousness. Beautiful name, isn't it? And try to keep it in your mind, in your heart. And let your heart go out to this Son of Righteousness, his life, his light, his warmth, his righteousness, his perfection. What is there of beauty, of fullness in this blessed Savior? And how clearly saw the prophet of Malachi him in his beauty and preach him. But unto you that fear my name. That's our second point. To whom does he arise? But unto you that fear my name. There is a strong contradiction in our text. In our Dutch translation it's still more emphasized. But it's in the Hebrew too. very strong contradiction. All the proud, all that do wickedly, shall burn as an oven. But unto you that fear my name. That's a beautiful expression in the word of God. And every word here must be emphasized. Unto you that fear my name. What is it to fear the name of God? For here is not written, it's true of course, but here is not written, to whom that fear me, but to whom that fear my name, says the Lord. And the name is the expression of his being. How he really is. When the Sun of Righteousness arises in our heart, we begin to know. To know God really. In his light, we begin to know God. And we begin to know ourselves. We begin in his light to see God. And his name is not longer a name. His name reveals us his being. How he is. And we begin in his light to see ourselves. Reality, the true light. And then we begin to fear. We fear his name. Is that to be afraid? Is that to tremble? That's a part of it. When Isaiah the prophet saw the Lord sitting in his throne, his majesty, his holiness, he cried out, "Ho! I perish! I'm a man of unclean lips, living in the midst of a people unclean of lips. Ho! I perish!" That was Isaiah, the man of God. He saw God. The sun was shining. The Sun of Righteousness was revealing him. The holiness, the pureness of God. And he saw himself. Oh, I perish. A lost sinner. And then there came such a living prayer. Oh Lord, cleanse me. Cleanse me. And there came the angel of the covenant and touched his lips with the coal of the altar. And then he heard it. Your iniquity is forgiven. Your sins are taken away. To fear. We live in a time that people very superficially, without real respect and impression of God, speak about him. You often hear in the Netherlands, I heard it often, "Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you," and so on and so on. You know what I mean? As if the Lord is our neighbor. But he is not. He is God. He is the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth. And in his name, the Holy One,
He expressed himself in his holiness, in his greatness, the high and lofty one. They who fear his name, holy, keeping not unguilty. Who is guilty? Hating your and my sins. A holy fear.
We read it by example in the life of Moses, the man of God.
Read Psalm 90. Then you can read what is a holy fear.
O Lord, who can stand before thy anger? For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and secret sins in the light of thy countenance. The Sun of Righteousness is shining in his heart, in his soul. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath.
They who fear thy name, Isaiah, hold me, I perish. Moses, I tremble. This place is a terrible place. The burning bush, the presence of the Holy God. And when the Lord revealed himself to his people, and the whole mountain was trembling, the people feared. Fear. In the true knowledge of God is revealed unto us his highness, his holiness. I am the holy. I am the lofty. And we are nothing. Nothing. There is Job, rebellious against the Lord. I heard thee with my ears, but now I see thee, and I repent in ash and dust. We cannot miss that, my dear flock. We cannot miss that. That's a part of the holy fear of God. But it's not everything. In that holy fear is always mixed a deep love. The love of God poured out in our soul, which creates such a deep longing to be reconciled with God. To be a child, to hate what he hates. For the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to love what he loves, to be in a loving, real relation and fellowship with the Lord. And therefore our soul is crying for him. And the Sun of Righteousness, and to you that fear my name, shall the Sun of Righteousness arise. It's a wonderful promise. When we fear, when we feel I cannot stand before the Lord, when we see and feel his holiness, and our soul is longing for him, in thy light we see the light. Do you know the deep desire for the Sun of Righteousness? I never forget that I for the first time preached this Christmas. Second Christmas day it was, we have that in my first congregation. And I always walked around the church, and our church was on short distance of river broad, river wide, river arm. And then from out the water, it was in the morning winter, I saw coming up the sun in his full beauty. It was really impressive. I was looking at it for a time before I entered our church. And there came such a desire in my soul, filling my heart. O Lord, arise this morning in our midst, that we may see thy beauty. And it happened. The Lord answered my prayer. And I, and also the congregation, we had an unforgettable sermon. For the Son of Righteousness was really shining in our midst. And we felt his life, his warmth, and we saw his light. So that 30 years ago, it seems to be as if it happened yesterday. For what we really receive from the Lord, we never, never forget the beauty of the Son of Righteousness. Arise, O Lord, arise in my soul. Let that be our prayer. How does the Son of Righteousness arise? Well, he arises in our darkness. When we consider the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh, he came in the most dark time of world history. The world was covered with darkness. Where was the true knowledge of God left? 400 years, no voice of prophecy. The whole world full of idolatry, spiritual darkness. You could go to China, you could go to America. There were no people knowing and seeking and loving the Lord. But the darkness was there in the land of Israel, full of hypocrisy, enmity, which came out clearly in the crucifixion of Christ. Of course, there was a remnant. There was a people who was waiting on the Lord, who feared his name. But they were very, very few. The situation was very dark when the Son of Righteousness arose and began to spread his light in Israel. Thousands, 3,000 on one day. Pentecost. When he spread his light over the whole world, through all the times, through all the nations. And therefore we are here. The Son of Righteousness arise. A number which no one can number shall enjoy in his life, in his light, in his warmth, shall be prepared, righteous before God in him. And how do we need that the Son of Righteousness arise in our own heart and soul personally? For we are in darkness. And that's one of the first things. When his light is shining in our dark natural life, we begin to discern, to see the difference between darkness and light. As long as we live in darkness, we don't see even the difference. We begin to discern the difference between the warmth of this sun and the coldness and chilliness of our nature. We begin to discern difference. As long as we are spiritual dead, we even feel no difference. The sun can shine on a dead man, but he is not able to feel any difference. Dead is dead. Spiritual dead. We don't feel the difference between life and death, between darkness and light. But when the Son of Righteousness arises in our heart, and the fear of the Lord is created in our soul, in the new birth, and Christ is born in us, then it begins. Eternal life, eternal light, eternal love. Then it begins. And we begin to see the reality. Oh me, I perish. I'm on the wrong way. I'm on the broad way. I'm a sinner. I've only sinned. I never can think or do or say anything to the glory of God. I'm unrighteous, totally. And the more the sun is shining, the more we see the reality of our lost state. We see it. We break. We repent. The sun is warming us. Warming. There comes love. There comes a crying to the Lord. There comes repentance. There comes what our catechism says, a sincere sorrow of the heart. A sincere sorrow. It's not cold. It begins to warm. And we cry to God, the living God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. The sun is shining. He reveals the reality. He spreads the light. He reveals us our need of righteousness. And our soul begins to see, there is no righteousness in me. There is nothing. All my prayers, all my duties, all my works, all my experiences, all what I have, it can never be, never, my righteousness before God. And the light of the sun is shining in our soul. And the light of the sun throws light on the beauty of Christ. And we begin to see with the eyes of our soul the fullness of His righteousness. And our heart is hungry. Hungry. I must have Him right. His righteousness. Give me Jesus. Or I die. That becomes reality. Not cold. Not only knowing because I learned it by head. But because my heart is crying. And hungry for the righteousness of Christ. I can only be satisfied with Him. Give me Jesus. So the Son of Righteousness is arising. And in His light we see the light. Our soul begins to see the fullness which is in Christ. And we cannot miss Him. The arms of our faith are stretching out to Him. For I know I must have this righteousness. It must be not a righteousness. It must be my righteousness. The Lord my righteousness. And so the sun is arising more and more and warming me, giving me life, giving me light, and giving me the ability to embrace Christ. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my work. It's His work. He is arising. The sun, we have not Him in our hands. He is arising. He cannot stop it. By nature we will. But we can. We are conquered. We are filled by His light, by His life, by His love, by his warm love. Warm,
O the Son of Righteousness. When he arrives in our hearts, we begin all to see all the things in his true value. And we begin to see this pearl of great value I must have. You know the beautiful parable of our Lord Jesus. The man who saw the one pearl. He sold all the other ones. He had to have this one only. And so the Son of Righteousness is arising in our soul, revealing us the value of God, the value of Christ, and giving us the grace to embrace him, so that Christ is applied to my soul, and that I know it so deep and sure. Christ is mine, my Savior, my righteousness, my Son, my beloved one. I belong to him. And so the only comfort in life and death becomes reality more and more in my soul. I try to describe the arising of the Son of Righteousness by the working of the Holy Spirit in our heart. But we have to consider that it not always go very suddenly. In the beginning, the first lights of the sun are reaching us. We can never forget that. When it's so dark, when it's so hopeless, when we only see sin, and then the light is coming in our heart. I never, never forget that it happened for the first time in my life, that my soul saw him, that in the darkness of my lostness, his light was shining. Wonderful, special. And the more he arises, he makes himself known. I never forget that we sometimes had unforgettable times when we preached about the suffering of Christ when he was arising. More and more we saw his beauty and his value. And so the Lord's people, they have all their own experience. And some very quick and suddenly, the Apostle Paul, he preached Christ short after his conversion, in others more gradually. But sure, the ways of the Lord are free, but they are all the same, for we see the beauty and feel the warmth and the life of this Son of Righteousness. And in him we live, and by him we live. And so we are made ready for his eternal glory. For the day is coming that shall burn as an oven. And all the proud, he and they do wickedly. What is the most wicked sin? Unbelief. To reject this precious Son of Righteousness. Not willing that he shall be king upon you. That's the most terrible thing. To stay proud. I'm not so bad. There is not so much need. Or to deceive ourselves in a vain hope. To be proud. Never humbled. Never broken. Never cried to that precious Son. Never really seen the need of him. That's a terrible day. That the wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. But that's the comfort for the Lord's people. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise in his full glory, in his eternal glory. We shall see him as he is. What a beauty
we see here by faith. Sometimes our heart can be filled with it. And that are the most happy moments in our life. But what shall it be to see him arising in his full eternal beauty? Behold, he comes with the clouds, and all eyes shall see him. What a difference. When we saw him here by faith, we belong to him. Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And when we see him for the first time, then we shall pray. Cover us for him who is in the throne. Mountains fall upon us. Hills cover us. What shall that be? That's the warning. And therefore this Son of Righteousness is preached to you. Offered to you. For there is healing in his wings. For all your disasters. For all your sins. A perfect healing. A perfect Savior. A perfect salvation. Behold, he comes, and let our hearts be longing to that coming. Amen. Let us pray and thank now. O blessed Son of Righteousness, now shining in perfection into all eternity at the right hand of the Father, coming soon to bring all thy people to thy glory and to punish and burn all thy enemies. And Lord, it's one of the two, faith or unbelief, life or death. And now we beseech thee, O Lord, arise in the hearts of each of us, so that we all see our deep need of Christ. And we all are awakened, enlightened, and warmed by thee, O ever-blessed Son. We thank thee, O Lord, for thy blessings of this morning, that thou enabled us to preach and to hear a little bit about what is unspeakable, the unspeakable gift of God, the unspeakable beauty of this Son, and yet to see something, to speak a little what the sweetness is in it. Lord, forgive graciously our sins in speaking and listening. Bless us when we come together to speak about thy word and to teach our young ones. Bless us when we go to the jail this afternoon and to the old people home. Let thy word be a power unto salvation and bring us back again tonight in thy courts to be there where thou hast promised to be in the midst. Dear Lord, pardon all our sins and hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.